The tech industry seems to inevitably cause housing bubbles and gentrification and coastal elitism. But what if it didn't have to be that way?
I think the future needs to come to the whole country sort of at the same time. And for the longest time, it didn't because we had our head up our butt.
From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Molly Wood. This is a story about bubbles. Bubbles in pay, housing prices, startup valuations, and the bubbles that result when lots of people with lots of money in lots of the same jobs all live in the same place. Glenn Kelman is a Seattle native and CEO of the real estate site Redfin. He recently wrote about how one of the reasons for high housing costs in tech-heavy cities is that tech employees can afford to pay more for houses because of their big stock payouts. But if they weren't getting those big stock payouts, Kelman argues that could distribute the tech industry around the country a little more evenly. I asked Glenn to explain his premise.
Oh, well, it's a little crazy, but right now Silicon Valley has been playing by different rules than the rest of America, where we've been able to pay software engineers and other folks with stock instead of cash, and it doesn't count against our profits. And as a result, there have been these crazy housing booms in Seattle and San Francisco and Boston and Austin and Portland and all the places where there are a lot of tech companies. And now Wall Street has had enough. They've said enough already. We're going to count it all. And it means that all of us are under a different pressure to find lower cost labor. And it all starts with a little accounting trick.
So you're saying companies not reporting their stock-based compensation led them to give more stock-based compensation, which then in turn led to more income windfalls for employees?
I mean, that just absolutely happened. And I want to be clear that there are accounting statements where you've always had to keep track of your stock-based compensation, but most companies were being valued off either revenue growth or these adjustments to profits that didn't include the stock-based compensation.
And then that stock-based compensation overall was just sort of invisible, right?
Yeah, and then it just pumped a lot of dough into a city like Seattle that hadn't seen that kind of money before. I mean, I'm not saying that it's bad to pay people well, but I think the net result has been that housing has really gotten expensive in Seattle. The complexion of the city has changed, and we're still struggling with the growth.
You're very optimistic about how this shift could also help even out our politics a little bit, or even out the discourse?
I think so. I mean, I've been with somebody who watched Travis Kalanick in the back of an Uber with his legs spread wide and a supermodel right and left. And this is someone from the Midwest who just said everything about that, even before he chewed out the driver. Everything about that is so wrong. And there is such a sense of disconnect between the middle of America and what is sometimes perceived as this entitled tech class. And by the way, I fully acknowledge that I'm part of that. But when you come to the middle of the country, you meet people who have different values. You meet people who voted for a different guy. And there's a discourse there. I mean, part of the problem in this country in the last election was that so much of America felt economically left behind, that the economy that was working for California and Seattle and Boston and New York wasn't working for Ohio and parts of Texas and the rest of the Midwest and the South. And so that kind of inequality just can't exist forever. Sooner or later, it's just an arbitrage opportunity. A capitalist is going to say, well, I'm going to open a software company in Charleston, South Carolina. And it's going to close some of the gap. So that's what I'm excited about. I think the future needs to come to the whole country sort of at the same time. And for the longest time, it didn't, because we had our head up our butt. And we said the only place you can build a tech company is in San Francisco. And it's just not true.
Right. Well, and the double whammy, right? We had our head up our butt, but we also were letting companies get away with fibbing about their compensation.
Yeah, well, we had our head up our butt, and we didn't have to pay for it.
Glenn Kelman is the CEO of the real estate site Redfin. His piece is called Why Even Software Companies Can't Afford Seattle Anymore. Now, last week on the show, we asked you to tell us about your smartphone, what it means to you, how it has changed your life, and we got some great answers, including my favorite thing, some voice memos. Here is Chris Getzfred with no less than a life changer.
About 5 years ago, I did a couch to 5K and got myself up and running. Today, I use my smartphone to guide me through my daily workouts.
And here's Joseph Selby with kind of an unexpected heartbreaker.
It's kind of ruined the pointless trivia arguments that I used to have with my friends. Very shortly after the first iPhone came out, I was in a bar with a couple of friends of mine, and we were having an argument about baseball. One of my friends whips out his iPhone, goes on to a search tool, and finds the answer. And the discussion that was probably going to be about 2 hours long and would have been a lot of fun was over right there. And all of us realized at that moment that the smartphone had ruined and destroyed that part of our lives forever.
I mean, I know our phones eat into our quality time, but it's true. Arguing about trivia is the foundation of so many friendships over the years. Now what are people going to do? Compare Snapchat filters? It's not the same. And Shalene Modi, who has been emailing with me on Tech Matters since well before the smartphone, had some thoughts on a different topic, our interview with Roy Bahat about the future of work. He wondered, in an age where machines do most of the work, what will that mean for leadership? He writes, will leadership philosophy even be valued in the future, or will it change to suit the wellness and productivity of disposable, replaceable, upgradable machines and software instead of humans? Character matters be damned. That is a large question, and I'm going to chew on that for a little while. Maybe some future stories. My immediate thought, of course, is like, I don't think we need to let Silicon Valley off the hook on leadership even more right now. I'm Molly Wood, and this is Marketplace Tech. And if you like our podcast, the one you just listened to, please tell your friends to subscribe, and please leave us a review. Every little star helps. This is 8 p.m.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.